The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in the 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So here we are. The festival of the Avatamsaka. We have invocations for Vairochana Buddha because he's closely associated with the Avatamsaka on the altar and on the pillars. He is also associated with Vairochana and with the Avatamsaka scripture. And you might think, why do we have a ceremony, a whole ceremony dedicated to one scripture? Well, anyone who's looked at it will know why, because it is huge. It is not only an enormous, because some of the perfection scriptures are extremely long, but the Avatamsaka is really long. And there are whole schools of Buddhism dedicated to the study and recitation of this one scripture, because it is so vast, so all-encompassing, and it contains, it would seem, just about all of the Buddhist teaching one could possibly think of. We know a female monk who visited here a few years ago, whose whole practice was the recitation of the Avatamsaka Sutra. She's a Chinese female monk, and her practice was to go around with the Avatamsaka Sutra. She had this beautiful voice, really strong presence, and she'd do this chanting all day for 2 weeks of the Avatamsaka Sutra, and then she'd take 2 weeks to recover, and then she'd go somewhere else and do it again. But when you think of that, one person would spend their religious practice is this recitation of this one scripture, and it takes them 2 weeks to do it. You think, that's big. You know? And that's in Chinese, which is a lot more succinct than our English translations of scriptures. Well, I've done a few talks on the Avatamsaka Sutra, as some of you know, and because it is so huge and so profound, I'm not going to do a whole talk on the Avatamsaka today, by the way. And so profound, I have never felt I could actually do a talk on it, really. So what I would do is I would like to dive into the sea of it, fish out a jewel, to really fully explain, because they're so huge, they're so much bigger than I can understand. It's just vast. And that's one of the most lovely things about it. It's huge, just huge. And it makes you look up, see the bigger. And it has an awful lot of practical teaching in it. The Buddha Dharma is vast. It's far greater and far deeper than any of us can comprehend or even imagine. It's huge. And it's always good to remember this, not to get so caught up in our little view that we forget. The Buddha Dharma is vast. Thinking of the Bodhisattva vows, and one of them is, and thought in the mundane way, you can't possibly comprehend the whole of the Dharma. It's like trying to save all sentient beings. However innumerable beings may be, I vow to save them all. A little one of us can't possibly save all sentient beings by ourselves. In the thought in our limited way, we can't possibly fulfill any of the Bodhisattva vows by ourselves. But we can aspire, well, I can't only understand a little bit, leave the rest. We aspire to it. We turn ourselves towards it. We turn the heart towards it and see this huge thing. And the Avatamsaka Sutra reminds us of that vastness. Right from the beginning, it's just huge. You have this description of all these beings at the site of the Buddha's enlightenment and how beautiful that place is. Beautiful descriptions of the Bodhi tree, all with a trunk made of diamonds and leaves made of jewels and gems raining down and flowers blossoming and devas here and there and worlds within worlds, and just enormous. And all the beings who are there, there's pages and pages of some of the beings are, there's all the devas and the yakshas up for this huge view. You might think, why do they have all this description? There's 50 pages of description about who's there. And if you try to read the Avatamsaka Sutra and just start from the beginning, it's pretty hard. to get through that first 50 pages because it's really, you know, long. The whole thing is really long. But it set you up for that huge view. That, I think, is its purpose, to just widen your mind to think, there is something a whole lot bigger here than I can understand. So let us just look up and see it. We try to understand it. We try to understand what we can. We try to understand the Dharma. We try to understand it as best we can, and we do our best to practice it. We try, when in our Dharma talks, we try to talk about what we can talk about. But there's more. It's much bigger than anything we can talk about. Mostly we talk about practice, because practice is most of what we concentrate on. We practice what we do here, and there's the bigger view. And never to forget that. As I said, the Avatamsaka scripture talks a lot about practice. There's a lot of down-to-earth practical advice in there. And an awful lot of it is these descriptions of these huge worlds within worlds within worlds, these massive vows that beings take, the many, many eons they spend trying to save a single being and all this. But it is not just that, these huge concepts. It's also down-to-earth practical advice, because you need both. You need your daily practice, your oatmeal of training, and you also have the larger view. Otherwise, you're just stuck in this little tiny view. And to have the larger view is not something, is always something to remember, not to let go of. And in thinking of the Dharma, a lot of it is very straightforward and seemingly simple. We talk about daily practice, meditating, keeping to the precepts. This seems really simple, but actually it's huge. Meditation practice, our simple sitting down and looking at a wall, is a huge thing. As Great Master Dogen says in the Benduwa, he has this huge, beautiful sort of paean of joy about meditation and how vast it is. He says, even if all the Buddhas, which are as the immeasurable sands of the Ganges, were all together to exercise their spiritual strengths and attempt to gauge the meditation of a single person, one of us, by means of their awakened Buddha wisdom, they would be unable to reach its boundaries, try as they might to fathom them. Which means that if all the Buddhas, all the immeasurable sands of the Ganges, numbers of Buddhas, were to try to explain the virtues of just our little meditation practice, they couldn't do it. That is an enormous thought right there. This is our meditation practice already, just huge. Keeping to the precepts seems very simple, but it's vast. We've been talking at the monks' retreat about the Kyoju Kaimon with Reverend Master's commentary, and she just opens up this huge, vast door of keeping to the precepts in the deepest sense, in thought, word, and deed, how all the precepts work with each other, how just the keeping of one little precept permeates the whole of our, one little precept, they're all huge, keeping one big precept permeates the whole of our life and affects all the others. Like, do not kill, it affects, you know, how we look at our, how we look at other people, how we look at our training. Not to despair, not to disparage anybody, because you're killing something there. Each of the precepts has this huge realm of implication. Seems simple, it's vast. And the whole of the Dharma is like this. It has these simple little, seemingly simple little things, and all of a sudden you realize they're really profound, really huge. Our simple concepts and phrases that we use all the time. Let go. Simple. Two words. Well, it's far more profound than we realize. And when we try to practice it, we start to realize that. Suddenly we're out in deep water. You know, let go. Let go of everything. Let go of our attachments. Let go of our stuff. Let go of our views. Let go of our idea of who we are. Let go of our ideas about what life is, or what other beings are, or what our purpose is, or everything, all our concepts, let go of what we think the Dharma is, because it's far bigger than we can ever quite realize. Let go. Very simple. And suddenly, you're way out there. And it doesn't mean suddenly everything's gone. You know, we let go and suddenly everything's gone. It just means don't cling on. Let everything come and go. Just to entrust ourselves to the greater thing. And this is just one example of how profound one little phrase can be. It's all like that. You know, it's huge. The Dharma is huge. And I would never want us to forget that, to get so caught up in our little view that we forget the vastness of what we are undertaking, really. Here at Shasta Abbey, we walk around the cloister, we go around, there's these great big tree trunks. And mostly we don't think about them, we pass the tree trunk. We're like little ants in the grass, you know, running around among the tree trunks, doing our little thing, our little stuff. And every now and then, you look up and you think, whoa, look at that tree, it's huge. Last winter, when we had trees falling, we were looking at our big trees, and we realized, as I did, these are our friends here. And I just had a renewed appreciation for each of those vast trees that we run around among, and how grief-striking it is when you lose one, when somebody in one of your friends dies. But most of the time, we just take them for granted. We run around among the trunks, just doing our little stuff with our eyes, you know, trying not to fall over the cracks in the cloister. And then every now and then you look up and you see these vast beings that have been living here all this time, still here, still putting up with us. And here they are, saying nothing, living their life. Being indoors, you know, doing what we do inside. And then in the evening, maybe you go out and look at the stars, and you, every now and then, I think all of us, every now and then have this kind of cosmic thought, whoa, it's so big, you know. This little tiny planet that we're on, this little tiny star that we go around, this little galaxy and many other galaxies, this little infinitesimal speck of dust that I am on this tiny planet whizzing through space. Every now and then you think these thoughts, and that's good. But we can't stay there all the time, otherwise we wouldn't do it, and stuck. We have to have both. We have the big view, we have the little view of just living our life. But to come back to that greater view now and then, I think is really important. And this is what the Avatamsaka constantly points us to, that greater view. There's something bigger than anything we understand. Just dealing with this moment, you know, just working with this precept, working with my mind right now, dealing with the situation with this person right at this moment, try my best to meditate and bring the mind back in this moment. It's good that most of our time is spent that way. We're not just lying on our... Just to remember the bigger picture now and then. The Dharma, Buddhism. Buddhism with a big B. This is what Reverend Master Jiyu taught us. We have a fairly big hall, we have a big altar, and you've got a big Buddha. Because it's big. She wasn't going to have a little tiny Buddha. Big Buddha. If she'd had her way, we'd probably have had a 50-foot Buddha, but it'd be kind of hard to accommodate. She wanted us to see the vastness and to point us towards that vastness. That's what she left us. She left us Buddhism with a big B. And a lot of people think of Buddhism with a little B. Something they can put in the closet and bring out, you know. Something that will fit into their life and not be too inconvenient. To meditate so that I can feel a bit better, so I can be nicer, so I can get along with people, so I can just do a better job of my life. It's bigger than that. Keeping to the precepts so I don't create a lot more suffering. Well, yes, these are all good. You know, it's good to be happier and nicer. It's good to keep to the precepts and not create suffering, obviously, but there's something more. There's something much bigger. And the more we train and meditate, Buddhism with a big B, we can't control it. It's not under our control, our jurisdiction. All we can do is entrust ourselves to it because it's so much bigger than we are, the Dharma. It's huge. It It's not something to fear, the vastness. It's something to entrust ourselves to. It's compassion itself. It's not a out in space kind of thing, you know, when you go, yeah, but there's also something very comforting about that, about knowing how tiny we are. It's not that what we do is not important. It is. Everything we do is important. Our keeping to the precepts, our trying to meditate, to treat each other with kindness. Yes, of course it is. And that still has to do its best with the tiny little moments of our lives amid this huge thing. We need both. We need the small attention to detail. We need the scrupulous keeping of the precepts. Trying to meditate in every moment, to treat ourselves and others with kindness. All these things we talk about. And we need the greater view, because they're not separate, they work together. And this is the teaching of the Avatamsaka scripture. All is one and all is different. The one in the many in the one, is a part of that great matter, the great thing. They work together, they're not separate. It's like the teaching of the Sando Kai, light and dark, right foot and left foot, the all and the many, the one and the many, all is one and all is different. Both of these work together, sanctifying the mundane. All these things combine the opposites and go beyond them. The little details of our lives and the great matter for which we train. And every now and then, to point to that great matter, I think is really important, so that we never settle for Buddhism with a little b. We never have it stuck in a closet we just bring out when we feel like it. It's always bigger than we are. It's always going to make us a little bit uncomfortable. It's never going to be something we can control, because we know that we have to practice it, even when it's really inconvenient. We have to keep meditating. We have to keep keeping to the precepts, because it's what the heart truly wants. And the more we train, the more we know that the greater thing takes over our whole life, actually. We entrust ourselves to it. We launch ourselves into it. We dive into that ocean. And will we swim or will we sink? Maybe it doesn't matter. We just entrust ourselves to it and let it sustain us. And it does and will sustain us. But always to come back, always to remember the great matter, never to forget it. So when we do our Dharma talks about the small things of life, never forget the greater context that encompasses everything. Never to forget the great matter. That's what it's for. That we train in detail, study in detail, do our very best to purify our hearts and entrust ourselves to the great matter. It's the same thing. It's not a separate thing. It's exactly part of it. Each little moment that we try to keep to the precepts, that we try to be mindful, try to be kind, is part of that. Turning to the great matter, to Buddha nature, is part of diving into that great ocean. It's not a separate thing. It's all one thing together. And that is what we think about when we consider the Avatamsaka scripture. All these beautiful scriptures we sing, vastness for us. When you look at each one, it points to that vastness. You open that scripture of the Avatamsaka. On every page, there's this huge vista. And little practical pieces of advice, studying it, not standing against each other, right there together. And you can find them when you look. You don't have to read the Avatamsaka scripture, but it helps. You don't have to read the whole thing, Just open it and look inside it. But just to put that teaching into practice is the most important thing. To study in detail and to remember the purpose of it all. The great matter for which we train. And that's it. Thank you. We'll have tea. Sorry about the rattling.